43, and I begin reading in verse number 26. This is Joseph's brethren having to come down to Egypt to get some grain, get introduced to the prime minister of Egypt. They don't know who he is, but he knows who they are. Verse 26, and when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house and bowed themselves to him to the earth. This is the brothers bowing to Joseph. And he asked them of their welfare and said, and I'm emphasizing this right here, is your father well? The old man of whom you spake, is he yet alive? Shows you where Joseph's heart is and has been. He's been separated from the only man that he feels like ever really loved him. And they answered, thy servant, our father, is in good health. He is yet alive. They bowed down their heads and made obeisance. He lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your younger brother of whom you spake unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother. And he sought where to weep. And he entered into his chamber and wept. And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself. Chapter number 45, verse number 1, they're in the presence of Joseph again. It's here that he reveals himself to them, shows his heart, where his heart has been all these years. When Joseph could not refrain himself before them that stood by him, he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. That must have been a great issue in Joseph's heart that has come to fruition as he meets his brothers. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? He wants to know about his dad again. And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, and you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth to save your lives for a great deliverance. And so it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of his house, and ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, go up to my father, and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me lord over all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, thy children's children, thy flocks, thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish ye, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see, in the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. He fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all of his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked unto him. I'm thinking about Psalm 40, Isaiah 40. David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. Isaiah said, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I think there is a golden truth here that Joseph has embraced. During the hours of disappointment and darkness, rejections and abuses. And I want to preach to you for a few moments, embracing that and speaking about that subject. And I want to preach on this subject, when waiting works. When waiting works. The times in life that God ordains for all of His children, in which they can do nothing but wait. As a matter of fact, it's a part of the Christian life daily, because the Bible said we are to wait patiently for the coming of the Lord. But the truth of the matter is, it is in those times in our lives, as in Joseph's life, when waiting is all that will work. And it's the only thing that will work for your life and for my life. But the good news is, waiting will work if you're willing to wait on God. Your pastor prayed. I thought as he was praying about how God has created us to be helpless so we can be pointed to His strengths. And if we are going to be strengthened, if we're going to be made what we need to be made in Christ, then we're going to have to wait. Joseph is in Egypt. He's been there approximately 22 years since he was taken from his father's bosom. While he is in Egypt, he's not trying to climb a corporate ladder. He doesn't want to be a part of the political wigs. He's not working himself up to be somebody. But what we notice in his heart is revealed when he sees his brothers and talks about his father is that he has spent 22 years waiting. Waiting. He is waiting on his dreams, because in one place he says, when he sees his brethren and they bow before him, said he remembered his dreams. He's waiting on that. Think about that. And of course, it is evident, as he said on the three occasions, he's waiting on his dad. The thing that is the biggest in his heart is the day when God brings it all back together. And he believes he will. But who knows how long that's going to take. And the only thing that he can do is wait. He must wait on those God-given desires. And understand, when you wait on the Lord, that's what goes hand in hand with it. It is God-given desires. But He's not going to answer that prayer today. He may not answer that prayer tomorrow. He may not fulfill His purposes for 10 years. But that's not our business. Our business is to wait. He may be bowing, and he was. He may be serving, and he did. He may be tending, and he may be suffering. He even may be ruling. But understand, in his heart, the major thing is he's waiting on the Lord.
Yes.
This is the main event that God designs for the hearts of his children. He's waiting in something. He's waiting on something. He's waiting for something. He's waiting because of something. But understand, he's waiting. You can divide those years up in Egypt into two segments. The first 13 years, he's waiting in bondage. He is subjugated to others. He has no position. He has no power. He has no authority to do anything about where he is and what he's going through. He has no power to change anything that's going on the inside about what he wants to happen on the outside. He spends 13 years in his heart waiting, but he can't do anything about it anyway. All he can do is wait.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
He can't pull any strings. He's not anybody that has the authority. The only thing he can do is serve in seeming bondage. But then we go to those 9 years from the time that he's brought up and made prime minister. He is the second most powerful man in the world. Could you imagine that? In the world. He's in charge of the greatest military in the world. He runs the greatest economy in the world. He's over everything, second only to the king, a powerful man in authority. But here's what I want to say to you. With all of that power, all of that position, all of that authority, he still waits.
Yes.
He waits when he could do nothing. He waits when seemingly he could do everything. But I'm here to tell you, it was waiting that worked the first 13 years. And it's going to be waiting that works the next 9 years. He's still waiting. I often muse over Joseph's life, and I believe that the hardest days that Joseph faced because of his longing and his desires was not the 13 years of which he was a servant and he was a slave and he was made to bow and bend. It was not even those 2 years that he spent in prison. Because those days were days that were out of his hands. I think the greatest struggle in Joseph's life was to wake up every morning and realize that he had all the power a man would ever need to do something about what he longed to have done. To lay down at night and have the vision of the last thing, and I believe it's the last thing he saw when he lay down, was to see the face of his father. And he even longed to see his brothers. You could see the passion of it. And someone would say, well, why does he wait? Why doesn't he do something? Call a regiment together of Egyptian well-trained men. Send them up into the Judean mountains and tell them of an old man and his family and send them up to bring them down to Egypt. Why don't you do something, Joseph? I can understand you waiting for 13 years. You had no power. But now why wait? Because it's still the only thing that's going to work. And it's still all that's going to work. You see, if he does use his strengths to try to accomplish what he desires and longs for and what is God's will ultimately, if he hurries it up, and by the way, let me say to you, God's waiting is a whole lot better than your hurrying.
Amen.
If he goes to work ahead of time, his father won't be ready. You ain't going to move an old man off his farm. I don't care who you are. Tell him all the stories you want to tell him. As long as he thinks there's any way he can stay there. Huh? Isn't that true? Some of us are moving to those days where we realize the kids are asking us questions. Like, where, you know, like we're feeling like they're wanting to take over. Father ain't going nowhere. Things are going to have to be exactly right before he's going to load up on any wagon and leave the promised land. He ain't ready. His brothers are not ready. It hasn't been time. Their hearts are still hardened and cold and wicked. They've not had to confront what they have done unto Joseph. They're not ready, and you don't want them down there in the shape they're in. They'll mess up everything down there just like they messed up everything up there. Egypt's not ready, has not been prepared. Joseph's really not ready. He has no plan for how to handle this when it happens. He doesn't even know how it's going to happen. I'll tell you, the only thing that can happen is everything has to be just right. The truth of the matter is, God's not ready, and that's the bottom line. If God's not ready, you're not ready, they're not ready, nothing's ready. And so the best thing to do is wait, because waiting's the only thing that'll work. But it works.
Yeah.
Thought about Noah on that ark. It was a great ship, but a small world. After a year's time, you could tell what he was thinking. I'm done with this thing. We went up to see the Noah's Ark they built, you know, in Ohio. And I was done with it in about 30 minutes. A whole big bunch of wood as far as I was concerned. He sends out the raven he wants to know. And then he sends out the dove. And when the dove comes back in, he knows that the ground's not dry, so the Bible said he waited 7 more days. You know how we men are. We get a little, you know, on the edge, just ready to tear that door off. I mean, God shut it, but I'm opening it.
Amen.
I'm tired of this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing is, if he opens that door too early, there's going to be a lot of stuff coming in there he ain't supposed to have to contend with. And ain't no need to get out there too early, because throwing water ain't going to help you, because you're just going to be throwing water on water. It ain't going nowhere. And even if it's gone down to where there's not water, you got mud. Well, we can mess up more than what God can make by just moving a second too early. Abraham learned that. He couldn't wait on Isaac and got him an Ishmael. God help us all. Saul wouldn't wait on Samuel. Lost his throne. Prodigal son wouldn't wait on his inheritance. Ended up in a far country. Waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. Seeking his direction. Because I say to you, it works when nothing else will work. It works every time. It works all the time. It works anytime. Four things I want to say to you about this matter of Joseph's waiting in application to your waiting and to my waiting. To encourage our hearts, as the Scripture says, to wait upon the Lord. The first thing I would say to you that Joseph did as he embraced this matter of waiting on the Lord, that we must do also, is this true? We have to wait. We have to wait when it seems as though that nothing is working. When nothing is working. And truly for 22 years, think about it in Joseph's life. 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years, 9 years. I'm boring you just counting the numbers. 10 years, how'd you live? Imagine if you had to live it. 11 years, 12 years, 13 years, 14 years, 15 years, 16 years, 17 years, 18 years, 19 years, 20 years, 21 years, 22 years of every night you went to bed and every morning you woke up and every all day long you were waiting. But it looked as though nothing was working. When seconds turn into minutes and minutes to hours and hours to days and days to months and months to years, and all you're doing is bowing, all you are doing is serving. And it seems as though nothing is working, and it seems as though that it's those times where it's almost like there's nothing to wait on. It's just not coming. But can I say to you, as Joseph did, as Joseph had to, as you have to, as I have to, as we wait on the Lord on a daily basis for the answer to that prayer, for the enlightenment on that decision, for whatever it is that He's put in our hearts to wait on Him, wait when it seems as though that there's nothing to wait on, and wait when nothing seems to be working. There's nothing about Joseph's life that says that anything is coming to pass. Anything is happening. But I tell you, while nothing seems to be working, the greatest thing is happening is working inside of him. He's waiting. The greatest thing you can do when nothing's working is wait upon the Lord. The second thing I would say to you in this matter of waiting when waiting works is waiting when nothing seems to be working. But I would turn the coin over that in that, and I would say that this matter of waiting that works says to us that there are those times when we're going to have to wait while everything's working. It seems as though nothing is working, but don't let that fool you. Everything is working. Think about that. I would go back to I would go back to Noah on that boat. And he's wanting off the boat. And it seems as though that nothing is happening. He's a little impatient. He's sending the bird out, hoping to get a little bit of an answer. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot happening. There's a lot happening. There's a lot working. Not anything that Noah's got anything to do with, but everything that God's got something to do with. You say, well, what's working? I'm going to tell you what's working. The sun's working. It's shining those rays down upon that water. The water is working as it is abating. As the ground is drying. The dove is working. Everything seems to be activated. And the biggest thing is, God is working. working to bring to pass what Noah is waiting on. Well, that's a great truth in David's life. He's been anointed to be king in Israel. God wants him to be king in Israel. Has said he's going to be king in Israel. But historians tell us, those that study the Bible, and it seems to be so as you look at it in as far as time is concerned, the element of time, that he has to wait at least 10 years before he becomes king. Or more. And he spends all of that time running from the king. And then there comes those two occasions when he's in those caves and the king doesn't know it and goes in there and goes to sleep where David is with his 600 mighty men. And one of those mighty men said, "There he is, there he is. You can end this right now and you'll be king. Run him through."
Yes.
Oh, David said in essence, "That's the worst thing I could ever do is put my hands on what God's doing. I ain't taking no shortcut. I ain't hurrying myself to no throne. I'm not doing anything."
Yes.
Except on one occasion he cut the skirt, the end of the skirt off, and then he repented of that. Didn't even touch that. I'm not getting into this thing of being king. I'm waiting on the Lord. But while you're waiting, you're not waiting in vain. Because while it seems as though that nothing is working, actually everything is working. Think about it in Joseph's life. Every ordeal in his life is a step forward and a movement up, though it seems to be down. And the worst of the ordeals is being put in prison, but just prior to be taken to the throne. And then the famine itself coming across all of the land. Everything and anything, everything was working and working to bring to pass one thing. And that's what Joseph was waiting on. Think about that. Everything's working to bring to pass what God wants to happen that Joseph is waiting on. You can't go wrong waiting on God, because he knows how to put the pieces of the puzzle together and line it up and bring it to pass. When waiting works. When you're waiting on God. You're waiting on God. And you have to. You must. Anything else will fall short and will not work. Waiting when it seems as though nothing is working. Waiting when in reality everything is working to fulfill what you're waiting on. The third thing that I would say to you in this matter of Joseph waiting, in this matter of you waiting and me waiting patiently on the Lord, is the truth that you can wait not only when nothing seems to be working, but yet everything is working, but you can wait while you work. You see, this matter of waiting on the Lord does not mean that there is a resignation from all purpose and activity in our lives. Because there's plenty of stuff that God wants us to do. That we can do while we keep on waiting on what He wants to do. And I illustrate that here in verse number 9 of chapter number 45. He says to his brothers, of course, think about Joseph. Everything he had to do, he was working while he was waiting. Was he not? He was a busy man. His hands were engaged in the necessities of the day while he waited for the purposes of God tomorrow. But hey, why on earth should we sit around and mullygrub about what we're waiting on when all around us God has so much that we are privileged to engage in, that He wants us to be a part of? He wants Joseph to serve Potiphar. He wants Joseph to take care of those prisoners. He sat around and said, well, I just can't do nothing until I'm going to tell you what. It seems like my heart's all... And we're prone to do that. Well, Billy comes home, and could you imagine the elder father saying, well, I ain't doing nothing until Johnny gets back. Well, the farm is going to just go to nothing. You'll have to let God take care of Johnny and you take care of the farm. Yeah. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Yeah. Joseph, just do what God gives you to do on a daily level. What a blessing it is to believe God for the promises of tomorrow and to wait on them and yet be refreshed every day in that you know that God has given you things that you can do now. To occupy, occupy, occupy till I come. I know the Lord's a coming. He could come today. He could come tomorrow. But I ain't going to close my Bible and just sit around and say, well, there's nothing to do till He gets here. No, there's plenty to do until He gets here. Pray until He gets here, thank God. Serve until He gets here. Worship till He gets here. Praise until He gets here. Plenty to do! I thought about Jesus going and sitting down on that well there in John chapter number 4. The Bible said He's weary. That word weary there means He was plumb wore out. And He's God's Son. And I'm going to tell you something, in the service of the Lord, if you don't get plumb wore out sometime or another, you obviously ain't doing nothing. Now, I don't think you have to be wore out all the time, but honey, every now and then you're going to sit down on the well and you're going to be wore out. But he ain't wore out and worrying. Joseph's not wore out with working. He's not wore out with waiting. He's just doing his daily task and waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. Hey, Noah, put that sledgehammer down. You ain't tearing the door off right now, and I'm glad he had a wife. That's the only thing kept him from doing it, I guarantee you. I can see her right now in front of the door. Said, no, you're not, Noah. I know you're a man of God, but you're not. See how you know? Because my wife's done that too. I can usually say this when she ain't here, now I'm in trouble. I said to her one day, I said, honey, if I was you, I'd be scared to death to talk to a man of God the way you talk to me. You know what I'm talking about? She said, well, right now you're my husband. And that ain't going to happen. But thank God for somebody who's got enough sense to say, hey, enjoy yourself. You can't do that. You're going to mess up more than you're going to help. Put that phone down. You ain't calling them. Amen. You ain't going to no car and go nowhere.
Yeah.
Just need a little jarring every now and then. I'm sure old Moses or Noah just wringing his hands and Noah, get out there and feed the chickens and forget about the door. Have you checked on them two elephants? Get in there. You're worried about things, thinking about things. I tell you, that'll take care of itself. God will have a time. He's got to get all that cleaned up out of there. You just work. And here's what I want to say. I'm so glad that He's got something for me to do while I'm waiting. You know, in that parable where one comes in at the first hour and another comes in at the 11th hour, when it's all over, they're all fighting over how much they get paid. I wouldn't want to fight over how much you get paid. I want to shout that I get to work for Him.
Amen.
It ain't how much we're going to get paid. I'm just shouting because I get to be a part of what he's doing. Wait. Seems like ain't nothing working. Ain't heard from the far country. The raven ain't been, it's gone. Me and Sarah's almost 100, and I mean, nothing working, but really everything's working if you'll just wait. And then you can, God will let you occupy your heart and mind in some things of the Lord while you wait. There's a measure of that in health. Just going to have to wait. Just tell him now. Tell him he's going to jump up and run outside. Say, no, you're not. I'm giving me the crutches. You're going nowhere. Wait. Wait. Here's my last thought. Wait. And then see what work comes out of waiting. That you know that you didn't have nothing to do. Your part was waiting. Your part was waiting. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? We can see in the text that I've read to you what it did to Joseph's heart. When everything come together, it was marvelous. It was unbelievable. It was overcoming. He sobbed and he wept so loud that the Egyptians could hear him. Why? I'm telling you, God brought it to pass. You see Abraham finally? I mean, 100 years old. Goo, 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 goo. Goo, 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 goo. Look at there, what the Lord gave us. Wow. And Noah, now he's out there. He's waited on God. And guess what? He don't have to get out there and try to fix everything. God's got it just right where all he has to do is go to planting and raise a family. And besides that, he's added something to it that Noah ain't never seen. Noah had to wait, but when he got off of that ark, God said, looky, looky, looky. And honey, we've been looking at it ever since Noah waited for it, and that's the rainbow. And here Joseph has waited and waited and waited, and God has brought it to pass. Nothing tries our faith any more than waiting on God. But nothing increases our faith any more than seeing what God brings out of our waiting. So, I would say to you, young lady, wait. I would say to you, young man, wait. I'd say to you, sir, in those great decisions of life, wait. And you'll know, there had to be something. There had to be something that kept Joseph from using all of those forces to bring that to pass. I mean, it ain't that far. And he's got everything at his fingertips. Why don't he do it? He's just waiting. Well, let me ask you. What have you been waiting on? What have you been waiting on? I want to encourage your heart. Just keep waiting. It'll work. It'll work. But you know, I could turn this. I hesitate in closing. I hope God ain't the ones having to do the waiting. Because he done told you what to do. And he's saying, you should have already moved on that. I often talk about when the Lord called me into evangelism. I made him wait 2 years. He said, from the first day he told me, I struggled for 2 long years. And every time I try to preach out of a text, I was preaching on Abraham and that far country and fallen God. That's the thing that got me in a mess. But I get up and try to preach to them people, and God would say, I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. 2 solid years, he said, I'm waiting on you. You're talking about a miserable man. But yet, there have been those times when he said to me, you're the one's going to have to wait. Trust me. Got my daughter here. She's a saint. I really is. But she ain't always been a saint. And I remember right after she got out of, she went to college, got her degree as a nurse and everything. And she wasn't living at home. And every time she'd come home to visit, I just sort of feel like that she wasn't doing what she's supposed to do. So I'd preach a hound out of her every time she'd come. Spend the whole visit. And I said, well, where you been? Who you hanging out with? What you been doing? I could just look on her face and tell it wasn't right. And one day the Lord, she'll remember this, one day the Lord took me back in the closet. He said, would you shut your mouth? I can't talk to her for you. You preached to her for all these years. Let me do the work.
Yes.
He convicted my heart. I said, okay, Lord. He said, here's what he said to her. I don't want you to preach to her again. She came. Do you remember that? And that's been how many years ago? 12? Anyway, she came back to the house one day, and I run up and hugged her. I said, honey, I got good news. I don't know what she's thinking. She said, what is it? I said, God told me never to preach to you again about the way you're living. I said, you'll just have to face that. Now, I said, now, if you need some advice, and come, I'll help you with it. But I said, I will not be preaching to you from this day forward. And I'm going to tell you, it lifted just so much just to be able to wait. And then I don't guess it was a year that the Lord spoke to her and she'd come back around. And not only saved her, but filled her, I know you can understand, filled her with the Holy Ghost. And now the danger is I get around her sometimes, she'll say, Dad, that ain't right. And when she does, I say, hallelujah! There ain't nothing like waiting and then seeing what works out of it, because what works out of it will work and it'll work forever. Yes. That rainbow's there as long as there's a world. The effects of Isaac's here as long as there's a world. And if you're a child of God, that'll be a great truth that'll carry you through, because he's going to force you to wait. But honey, when you get to where you see what comes out of waiting, what you'll say is, I'm sure glad I didn't call that general and send him up there. I thought about it 2 days ago. Woo! I'm glad I didn't push that button. I'm glad I didn't pull that lever. I'm glad. God, thank you that I waited. What comes out of it? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not be weary. They'll run and not faint. Somebody said, how in the world are you keeping up that pace? He said, well, I just wait. He waited. And oh, what God brought out of it. So I say to you, wait. When waiting is the only thing that'll work.